your DNA, we blend the formula for you, and ship it to your door. Whether you use the GeneWise LifeMap supplements or the LifeMap Skin Serum, or both, now you can take charge of your wellness and healthy aging. Start by going online to nowitispersonal.com or call me 772-216-7005.
Harbridge Yacht Club and Marina on the St. Lucie River is committed to Yacht Club excellence and customer service. What exactly does Yacht Club Marina excellence and customer service mean? How about the Marina staff 24 hours per day, 7 days a week to ensure that all of your needs are met promptly? Need fuel at 4 o'clock in the morning? They will fuel you anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Planning to arrive at the Marina at 5 o'clock in the afternoon but are delayed until 10 o'clock that night? No problem. The Marina attendants will be there to ensure your safe arrival and provide a warm greeting. Need ice delivered to your boat? What about beverages and snacks? Their culinary and service staff will provide room service directly to your boat, whether the request is for hors d'oeuvres for cocktail hour or dinner for 10. They can even provide a personal chef on your vessel so you don't have to cook or do the dishes for the evening with advance notice. Don't forget about their popular fuel discount loyalty program. At Harbridge Yacht Club and Marina, it's all about service you can depend on. For more information, 772-692-4000, extension 4, or visit the website at harboridgeyachtclub.com.
Good morning, 6 minutes after 10. You're listening to WPSL 1590, the talk of the Treasure Coast. Opinions expressed are those of the program host and guest and not those of WPSL. WPSL does not endorse products that may be mentioned. Any reproduction or retransmission of this broadcast is strictly prohibited without written consent of WPSL. It's time now for Cindy's Health Beat and Where to Eat with your host, Cindy Bryant.
And that's me. Good morning, Veronica.
Good
How
morning.
Are you doing?
I'm wonderful. And you?
I'm loving this weather.
The cooler, the fact that we're maybe coming out of it.
that we're coming out of it. How do you like the extra daylight?
You know, I'm still kind of getting used to it. You know, at first it was like, okay, you know, Sunday you get to sleep in.
Yes.
But then you realize on Monday that you really lost an hour. So, yeah, still getting used to it.
Yeah, and I like the extra daylight after 5 o'clock. But this is Cindy Bryant with Cindy's Health Beat and Where to Eat, and brought to you by my two publications, Heartbeat of the Treasure Coast, your health, wellness, and fitness magazine. Go to the website, www.heartbeatofthetreasurecoast.com, to get the most recent copy, or you can stop at 200 different distribution locations in Indian River and northern St. Lucie County and pick up a copy. Also, the official dining and entertainment guide. This will lead you to some of the great restaurants and entertainment venues that we have in Indian River as well as in northern St. Lucie County. The website for the dining guide is www.diningfunguide.com. And today we've got a lot to talk about. So before we get right into our three guests, I want to remind everybody that tomorrow is Wednesday, and every Wednesday, East Coast Clinical Services offers cost-affordable lab work. I mean, they do a wonderful job. You've got Lisa, Anthony, and Brian at East Coast Clinical Services at 777 37th Street in Suite A107. They have a health fair every Wednesday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. They offer the following lab tests done for just $10 each. So if you'd like to be monitored or checked for diabetes and you want the glyco-A1C test, it's only $10. Or a CBC, which is a complete blood count to screen for anemia, infection, and many other diseases, that's only $10. If you'd like to determine the risk of coronary heart disease, you'd want to ask for a lipid panel, and that's only $10. Or the comprehensive metabolic profile, a highly sensitive C-reactive protein test, a PSA, a TSH, a ProTime test, liver and UA, or urinalysis. All of these are just $10 each. You don't need a doctor's order to have your lab work done. Now, of course, they're open Monday through Friday as well, but on Wednesdays they offer the cost-affordable lab work for you, just $10 each. So check out Lisa, Anthony, and Brian at 777 37th Street in Suite A107 every Wednesday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can call them at 772-569-6000. That's 772-569-6000. East Coast Clinical Services has been a sponsor of Cindy's Health Beat and Where to Eat for the last year, so I really appreciate their sponsorship. Also, we want to give a shout out to all of the doctors, because today we celebrate National Doctors Day. And if you look in your newspaper, you'll see a nice promotion from Sebastian River Medical Center that lists all of their fine doctors. doctors. So if you run into a physician, a healthcare provider today, especially the doctors, wish them a happy Doctor's Day. And we're going to go right into what we're going to talk about today. And it's an epidemic that we are seeing, not just here on the Treasure Coast, but across the country. And any of the listeners that would like to call in and ask any of the guests any questions, please don't hesitate. Call 772-340-1590. That'll put you into the studio, and you can talk to our guests who are going to talk about the ever-increasing epidemic with teen prescription drug abuse and addictions. And in studio today, I'm very pleased to have Karen Perry. And she serves as the co-founder, or she is the co-founder, of the NOPE Task Force. And she lost her oldest son, Rich, to a drug overdose. And she has been serving as the executive director since NOPE inception here in the area since 2004. We also have Lieutenant Kevin Dietrich. Now, Lieutenant Dietrich is with the St. Lucie County Sheriff's Department. He is the supervisor of the School Resource Department. And we have Deputy Lawrence Richardson with us, who is a school resource officer at one of the schools in our fine county here in St. Lucie. Now, I had mentioned earlier, well, good morning to all three of you. How are you?
Good morning.
Good.
Thanks for having us.
It's so nice to have you here because I really... You read some things and you hear some things on the TV and on the news about the prescription drug abuse by our teens. But until I invited you all here and really did some research, I never really realized the real epidemic it was. And Karen, as director of the NOPE Task Force, and you serve in this capacity with no compensation. This is all volunteer because this is obviously something that's very dear and near to your heart.
Yes, it is.
And you supervise all of the organization's activities, and you've helped to develop and implement many major initiatives to help educate the public. And the fine officers here with the St. Louis County Sheriff's Department, I can see, and we talked prior to the show about how what an epidemic we are in right now. And with your loss, Karen, I know that you're very passionate about this. So why don't one of you just take the lead and tell us what do we mean but when we use the term prescription drug abuse and addiction?
Well, addiction is a disease characterized by compulsive drug-seeking behavior regardless of the consequences. And what we're seeing now with the trends with addiction is leaning towards prescription drugs rather than the illicit drugs that we've seen in the past because they are so easily obtainable by both young people and adults, and they are so quickly addictive. The powers of prescription painkillers, it takes only 3 days for a person to become tolerant to a painkiller, and after that point, they start to need more of the painkiller to have the same effects that it had before. And then eventually, this can lead to an addiction.
Well, that's interesting. 3 days. So if you've had some surgery or whatever, and you're in a hospital and you're on pain medication, then really, that's why the doctors, I guess, after 3 days do start weaning you off. I never realized that you could be grabbed that quickly and build up a tolerance.
Mm-hmm. And you know, there's five pills when we mention prescription pills and drugs that comes to mind mostly. Methadone, Xanax, Oxycodone, and Hydrocodone. And when they use these pills, an individual use these pills illegally without a prescription and they abuse it, then they are considered drug abuse.
So if somebody has any of these pills in their possession and they cannot prove that they have a doctor's script for it, then they are basically abusing, and or maybe they themselves aren't abusing, but they're selling them?
Yes, they're selling them, they're getting high. And that's the main thing. When they get high off them, they use them illegally, and that's the main thing.
How prevalent is prescription drug abuse in our country right now?
Right now, prescription, based on teens, we have seen that 2,500 teens will try prescription drugs to get high for the first time every single day.
And that every day?
Every day. New
2,500?
New teens will try that. And the majority of them are starting under the age of 15.
I was just about, that was going to be my next question, is what is the age
and
of under 15?
That's based on the findings from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America. So that in mind, the studies we also know, based on the human brain, we've come to find out that the brain does not fully develop until you're 24 years old. So any of the drugs that are put in your system prior to that has an effect on the developing brain. And there's studies out there that show that young people who start using alcohol, for example, at the age of 12 are 65% of the young people who are addicted started their drug use at the age of 12. And then it goes to 45% of the young people who are drug addicted started their drug use at the age of 15.
Where are these 12-year-olds getting prescription drugs? I don't
This is the change that we've seen in St. Lucie County. The narcotics officers, the school resource officers are seeing a trend from the illicit cocaine, LSD, marijuana use to the availability and access in the home to the prescription medications in the medicine cabinets, in the kitchen cabinets where people are keeping their prescription medications, their children are gaining access to them. They're no longer having to go back into the dark alleyways of our cities to do a drug exchange when in reality these prescription medications are becoming available right in the home.
But mom and dad don't realize that they're dwindling?
What's happening is and dad will be missing one or two. And then when the children start getting addicted, they find other alternatives. Kids at school are selling them, kids on the streets, at the parks.
And now I have to go back to the money. Where are these kids, 12-year-olds, they don't have jobs, they're 12 years old. Where's the money coming from?
Some of them are, as traditional illicit drugs are purchased, they utilize the pills that they're getting. They'll buy two, sell one. They'll buy five, sell three. So it's a truly a business venture for them.
Oh my.
You know what? It's addiction. Our theft rates are going up. Thefts in schools, iPods. Kids will steal an iPod to get two pills. The change that we're looking at is multiple fold. The narcotics world is changing. The school resource-based role is changing. The awareness role is changing from, this is happening in our homes. This is happening in our parking lots. This is happening in our schools. The numbers have shocked us. When we started talking about it, this generation that we're dealing with right now, we're talking a teenage issue, but we're also talking a population issue. LSD, PCP, cocaine, crack cocaine, methamphetamine, ecstasy, those are all drug trends of past. They're mm-hmm. still here to a certain degree, but the generation we're dealing with now will have to deal with the prescription drug abuse and addiction issue right now, or our generation, as we know it, will fail.
Why do you think the trend all of a sudden is prescription drugs? Is it easy access?
I think it's easy access. If you look at our world, our society today is all about prescription drugs. There's prescription drugs for every single ailment that you can think of. Our society today does not want to be in pain at all. So there is a prescription drug for just about everything, and it's advertised all throughout, television. And with the prescription drugs in the household, for example, the kids will look at a jar of Xanax, say the mother was prescribed it because she was flying the next day. So the kids will think, mom's taking it because she's gone on an airplane, so it must not be that bad. So, why not try that? So that's kind of the mindset that the children are in today, that, it's advertised all throughout. They see it so much that how bad can this be? If doctors are giving it to people, the doctor prescribed it, how bad can it be? And what we're trying to do is bring awareness to the parents. We talked about that earlier, the prescription drugs in the household where, one pill might be missing. If you think about it, when you are on a prescription drug, you may be legally on a prescription drug for a true ailment, you may not be sitting there counting how many pills right. are in that bottle. The bottle may be filled with 30 pills and you take one. You're not going to notice that one missing right away. So we're trying to educate people in that regard.
And law enforcement, sharing with what Karen said, I have been on scenes where the investigations indicated that this was a first-time experimental death, where he took a pill, an 80-milligram pill from of OxyContin from his grandmother, who had built up a tolerance over several years. He sees grandma taking these daily. He takes them one time with a couple of beers that night, never had taken really anything that strong ever before, and has passed away in the night. So it is happening. Can one pill kill you? It yes. is, and it has, and it will continue if we do not get that awareness out there.
And you know, I did some research from the called the Medical Examiner's Office.
Yes.
And they have a lot of information on the report, but what I've noticed is a tremendous increase. Even into this year here, we already have 15 accidental drug overdose deaths in the Four County area.
15 just since January of this year?
Yes, ma'am, 15. In 2009, we had 116. In 2008, we had 112. So the increase is going up.
And in the state of
That's Florida. Shocking. I mean, here it is. It's not even April yet, and we've mm-hmm. had that many deaths.
In the state of Florida, we lose 23 people every single day to drug overdose death. And the majority of them are with prescription drugs are involved. Down in Palm Beach County in 2008, we lost 308 people to prescription drug overdose deaths. We're one of the highest counties in the state.
And this is not including alcohol, just prescription
right.
drugs, accidental overdose death. No alcohol accidents involved at all.
And there's now, in our deaths, there was a combination.
Alcohol, yes. Now, you had lost your son, Scott?
Richard.
Richard. You lost your son, Richard, how long ago, Karen?
He passed away in 2003.
Okay. And this is what really inspired you to get involved and try to prevent more children from losing their lives to prescription drugs, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was, it's just I can't even describe the devastation that one feels when you lose a child. Doesn't matter what the cause of death is. It's absolutely devastating. And through the process, we came to realize so many different things that that people, the general public, just are not aware of. We were not aware of, and we just felt it very important to bring those messages out to the public, to students, and to students, the dangers of drug abuse and prescription drugs, as well as to family members. What to look for and the dangers that are out there that, you know, is going on right under your own roof and you don't even, you may not even be aware of it.
Okay, because I was going to ask you about the symptoms and what parents need to look for, and we need to talk about that, but in the case that you'd mentioned, Lieutenant, where it's the first time, you know, you don't know. I mean, this is something that you wouldn't be able to identify, but if you're looking to see if your child was acting funny or strange habits, what are some of the signs that the parents can be looking for that their children are abusing?
A lot of times, and I'm not sure in Karen's case, but a lot of times you can actually see almost a defining change from grades being acceptable, attending school, getting up, participating with known friends, to the point where they start consuming this, their grades start to fail. Their attendance at school drop off. Their friends change. Their hours of activity change. So when you start seeing a change in your child's behavior, rather than just a normal teenage transitional going into that puberty stage, or even young adults, when you see a drastic change in somebody's life and their friends, that's an indication you should be looking at it. You should be aware of the friends and the family if you're letting them go over, stay overnight. In the cases that I remember when I walked in the house, I remember seeing prescription medications all over the counter. The availability of prescription medications are as dangerous as a weapon. And we have laws in the state of Florida to secure weapons in homes where there's children. I'm not advocating locking up every medication, but we should be so keenly aware of our prescription medications and the availability to our teens and people that aren't accessible to it.
So. Well, I've noticed, too, a few years ago when I, or even 10 years ago, when I used to go into the pharmacy or the drugstore and I wanted to buy some Sudafed or some cough medicine or something to that effect, I could just pick it up right there, you know, in the aisle. And then all of a sudden, about a year or so ago, you go to look for it, and all it is a sign that says go to the front counter. So in some effects, something is being done as far as over the counter drugs.
That was actually like methamphetamine. They addressed the purchasing of products to make it methamphetamine because the common person was doing it in cars. So that's why that was done.
And they were probably stealing it right off the shelf.
They were stealing it. Were going from store to store to store to get what they needed. So exactly, that was controlled. We've seen the methamphetamine use diminish. We need to do that same thing with prescription medication. We need to either address it by smaller volumes or securing them, and what we're doing here today, an awareness to the problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I think when you buy that type of medication, it is, you have to go see the pharmacist. You also have to sign for it and show your ID. So they're keeping track, which
is good.
To buy
Sudafed. Mm-hmm. I mean, go figure. But no, I had no idea it was because they were using those pills to make something else.
Right. And they're also abusing the cough medications. But we do ask that the parents, when we do a presentation for the parents, we do ask them to take a look at their medicine cabinet. And there's many activities